Investment holding company JSE-listed PSG Group released its annual results today. For the year ended February the 28th, 2021, the company reported its net asset value coming in at 91 rand and 76 rands a share. That's up 4.9% on the 29th of February 2020, while the company's sum of parts declined by 0.2% to 94 rand and 44 cents. That's compared to the year prior. The company indicates that it formally became an investment entity from the 1st of March 2020. So how did the various companies it holds in its portfolio do in the period? Well, I'm joined on the line by Pete Mouton. He's the CEO of PSG. Thanks very much, Pete, for joining us. Now, you offloaded a substantial amount of your interest in Capitec Bank last year. What sort of impact did that have on your bottom line, if any?
Good evening, Nompu. We're doing investment entity accounting, so it doesn't really have an impact on the bottom line. We simply look at the sum of the parts and the impact on the balance sheet. So it's effectively swapping shares for cash. So no, that didn't really have an impact.
Right, okay.
I mean, obviously, going forward, we've got to go from the principle that we got to be able to deploy the capital to good use.
Indeed.
For the cash.
Now, PSG Consult, they were out with a half-decent result. And of course, they benefited from a stellar run on global and international markets. Presumably, you were happy with their performance.
I think it was a phenomenal performance. They had double-digit growth. If you look at the rest of the financial sector, we've seen earnings ranging from 25% down to even companies making a loss. So PSG Consult obviously positioned themselves well. They've always been forward-looking in terms of the risks that could hit their business. And they had a fantastic year if you compare them to the competitors in the market.
Yes. Now, you have a number of fairly solid companies in your stable, including education player Kuro and agricultural player Zeda. Your thoughts on these particular companies' performance, and specifically when it comes to Kuro, do you think the worst in terms of the COVID impact is pretty much over for them?
Everything isn't done. I mean, that was specifically hard hit if you compare it to other players in the education space. We had a big element of preschool. I think we almost have 4,000 or 5,000 learners in that sector. And where in the primary and high school, you could transition the people very quickly to online learning. It's not really something you can give to a preschool learner. I mean, you're basically having a online discussion with the parent and then they still got to play. So we had a big dropouts in that section. And
yes.
We make a lot of money from the ancillary revenue. That's like the buses and the aftercare, the sport and all the associated activities. Even though, you know, we've taken our losses on the preschool and we converted the number of them to normal schools, on the ancillary side, it's still very difficult. I don't know if you've got kids, but you know, the schools aren't operating in a full basis at the moment.
Yes.
I mean, the support is limited. It's basically just practice, still struggling to play against other schools, although there is a bit of a tick up. So hopefully by half year, we'll be operating closer to normal. I mean, it all depends on what happens with this alleged third wave.
Yes.
Okay, Zeder had a fantastic year, I think, all things considered. I do think it was a great year for the agriculture industry. The weather played its part, and they were seen as essential services. So all the businesses within the group had good results. I do think if COVID wasn't there, it could even have been better. Especially a business like Capespan that had significant issues and we've gone through a rationalization process the past 3 years, which was very painful to all involved. But they managed to turn around a sizable loss last year into quite a nice profit. All those businesses are doing quite well. So we're hopeful for the future. I mean, it always will remain a tricky investment in a listed environment because of the cyclicality nature of agriculture.
Yes.
I mean, it is a little bit weather dependent and you can't plan for that.
No, you can't. Now, the pandemic had the impact of devaluing some businesses as they struggled to deal with its onslaught. Did you identify any well-valued investment prospects in the period?
Like most businesses, for the past year, we're very internally focused. I mean, it was obviously something very new. And most businesses have risk committees where you look at potential threats to the business. And I must say, all the years I've sat on risk committees, nobody modeled a COVID-type scenario. Mm. It's just not part of a frame of reference. So initially, the companies had to find a way to work internally with their own employees and then focus on the customers and how they're going to deal with all the issues associated with service delivery, etc. And then they had to model the effect of what it potentially was going to happen to them going forward. I'm happy to say that most of the companies within the group did this absolutely brilliantly, and they've come out better. And here and there, we were able to cut costs as well, and mm-hmm. maybe we're a little bit more streamlined coming out of it. And actually, as we sit here today, most of them are well capitalized and they can focus on growth again. I don't think we're totally over the COVID, but we can start looking towards new opportunities again.
Hmm. So you indicate that you became an investment entity at the beginning of your financial year in 2020. Perhaps you can just unpack that term for us and why you needed to make an announcement about it. What impact ultimately will it have on the shareholders, if any?
It doesn't really have any bearing. It's so we're still an investment holding company. It's just a has to do with the way we account for our businesses. So previously, I mean, there are about 20 companies that we used to consolidate mm-hmm. in our financials. And, you know, you got your agriculture businesses that you put with Consult and then Kiro Education. So you have this income statement and balance sheet, which doesn't make sense at all. And following the unbundling of Capitec and the sale of Pioneer, we were able to convince the auditors that we follow a principle of investment entity accounting.
Right.
Which basically means you fair value all the investments in the company and you only consolidate the wholly owned subsidiaries here at holding company. So what you will see is the income statement becomes fairly irrelevant because that in some years will go up and come down as the market moves.
Mm-hmm.
But the balance sheet will resemble the sum of the parts with you being able to see clearly or a lot more clearly what the head office actually costs the investors out there. So we think it will make the financial statements actually easier to read. In the 12 years I've been involved with PSG, I never once had a question about our consolidated financial statements because it just literally didn't make any sense. So I think it's now a better reflection of what the business is.
That's better. So you indicate that you're going to be repurchasing and delisting PSG preferential shares in issue to the tune of 1.4 billion rand. Just explain about, you know, the rationale behind that.
So, I mean, I had quite a number of slides in my results presentation about it, but it sort of became an issue that most of the listed perpetual preference shares have come down considerably from the levels they were issued. And there were no new issues the last 10 years or so. So they're trading at about a 35% discount. The holders, I think, have realized that this is not equity and it's more mezzanine debt in nature. And from us as holders, it's got the same nature. So it's expensive debt, really. So by taking them out at a premium, we give the holders of these perpetual preference shares a good deal. And for us, it means we can actually raise less expensive financing going directly to the bank. So I think it's one of these instances where a product maybe had relevance 15 years ago, but it's not so relevant anymore. And I think we're able to do a transaction which would suit both parties in this
Right.
instance.
Okay, Pete. And then lastly, of course, it's a very uncertain year for us. There's a lot going on, with our vaccine cycle yet to come through and all the rest of it. So the South African economy still on tenterhooks. But what is your outlook for the balance of the year?
I think it is going to be a tough year. It's until we get the COVID under control, but and there it's almost the world gets this COVID pandemic under control. We're going to remain in a constrained environment. It doesn't mean there aren't opportunities. So we can't do much about changing the macro environment. And even though it's tough, you just got to be try and work smarter and clever or more clever than the competition and see whether you can find one or two niches where you can make money. And I do believe we've got good management teams in place, and they should be resilient enough to weather the storm.
Maybe
They have already.
you'll find another Capitec.
I get that question so many. I mean, we can be honest about this. Capitec is the best business to come out of South Africa the last 20 years. And I'd love to find another Capitec, but one's also got to be a realistic. If I can find enough investments that can sort of return 15% per year, then you double every 5 years. And in an economy where there's very little GDP growth and low inflation, I think investors would be more than happy with that. Myself would be as well. But if I can find a Capitec, I'll take it.
That was Pete Mouton. He's the CEO of PSG.